the analysis of the notes with Lucas and Clara from El Comercio from Ecuador.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We sort through all the noise to get you the key insights. Today, we're diving into something that's, well, literally scorching its way across Europe. These huge, intense forest fires, and alongside them, just relentless, extreme heat. So our mission here is to unpack the latest information we've gathered from various sources. We want to pull out the crystal details, maybe some surprising connections about this whole crisis as it unfolds. And it's not just numbers, right? It's about how this stuff is really hitting daily life, the environment, emergency teams across the continent. Okay, let's get into it. What's actually happening out there on the ground, and what are maybe the less obvious links between everything?
Yeah, it's precisely that link, that sort of dance between the extreme weather and these awful fires that's so striking. All across Europe, we're seeing this pattern. Persistent high temperatures, really suffocating days, and then these so-called tropical nights.
Tropical nights.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's key because usually things cool down overnight, which helps contain fires.
Yeah.
But with temperatures staying above 20 Celsius all night, that cooling doesn't happen.
So the fires can just keep spreading pretty much 24/7. This intense heat, it's pushed authorities everywhere to issue alert after alert. And the fires themselves, they're widespread. Spain, Greece, Turkey, Portugal, the Balkans. It's a huge area. We're going to try and give you a clear picture of a continent, really, under siege, but keep it digestible.
That point about the tropical nights stopping the natural cool down, that really hits home. It shows how relentless these fires are. Okay, let's start with Turkey. Our sources mentioned two new fire fronts that just topped up August 13th. What's the immediate picture there? What are the crews up against?
Right. These new fires are down in the south. And the teams aren't just fighting flames. They're dealing with really strong winds and temperatures hitting like 38 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
One area that's really feeling it is Silifke in Mersin province, right on the Mediterranean. And the wind, it's not just annoying. It's actively spreading embers, making the fire jump, making it unpredictable. That makes aerial water drops tricky and ground operations incredibly dangerous. It's a real battle for the crews. So heat and wind changing the game. Are they managing to get a handle on it? What kind of resources are they throwing at these conditions?
Well, according to Anadolu, the news agency there, teams worked right through the night. Aerial support kicked in first thing in the morning, trying to box the fires in. They're also tackling another tough one that started August 13th over in Hatay near Syria. That area is known for being rugged, hard to get to.
Difficult terrain, okay.
Exactly. Makes it super hard for ground crews to make fire breaks or even get heavy gear in. Often leaves air support as the main option, but again, that's challenging.
Yeah.
For that Hatay fire, they've got 10 helicopters, about 122 vehicles, and 344 personnel involved. And just to be safe, they've evacuated 5 villages nearby and shut down a highway. Tragically, though, since July, these fires across Turkey have already cost 15 lives, people fighting the flames.
15 people? That's just devastating. What does that loss tell us about the risks responders are facing now? Is this a new level of danger for firefighters?
It absolutely points to a shift. The sheer intensity and speed, you know, fueled by the heat and wind, it means the usual tactics are getting stretched thin. Firefighters are facing an environment that's just pushing human limits. It definitely makes you ask questions about, well, the sustainability of how we respond now and if we need new ways to protect the people in the front lines.
That is a sobering thought. Okay, let's shift over to Spain. Fires there have also caused fatalities, and the environmental costs sound staggering. What are the numbers telling us?
Yeah, Spain has seen 3 deaths linked to the ongoing fires.
Yeah.
And according to AFFS, that's the European Forest Fire Information System, around 105,000 hectares have burned just in 2025 so far.
105,000 hectares?
And get this, that's more than double the area burned by this time in 2024.
Double. Wow.
It's not just land, you know. That's a huge loss of biodiversity recovery. Could take decades, maybe longer. Plus, think about the carbon emissions. It could even create a feedback loop, making future heat waves worse.
More than double. That jump is really worrying. What's driving such a big increase compared to last year? And what do we know about the tragic deaths?
The main culprits are definitely the long heat wave and how incredibly dry everything is. Even the little bit of vegetation becomes like tinder. As for the victims, the latest, as of August 14th, was a 37-year-old man. He suffered burns over 85% of his body fighting a fire up near Lyon. Before that, a 50-year-old worker died near Madrid at an equestrian center. He had 98% burns, apparently trying to rescue horses.
Oh, terrible.
And another man, 35, got trapped in a fire in Castilla y León while he was just clearing brush on his own property. These stories really bring home how sudden and immense the danger is, even for people not on official fire crews.
Just heartbreaking stories makes it very real.
Yeah.
Where are the fires most active in Spain right now? Are some areas more vulnerable?
They're still battling active fronts in places like Castilla y León, Galicia, and Andalusia. Asturias and the Valencian community have also been hit recently, and it's all made worse by this heat wave that's been going on for 10 days now.
10 days.
Yeah, anyone who's lived through that knows it's not just uncomfortable, it's exhausting. It really affects how well firefighters can work, especially around the clock. It pushes everyone and everything to the limit. The total fire count in Spain for the year is up to 201 now.
The conditions sound incredibly tough.
Okay, let's look at Portugal. Also battling a lot of fires, right?
Right.
Often with a similar heavy deployment of resources.
Absolutely. As of August 14th, Portugal was dealing with 32 separate rural fires. They've got over 2,800 personnel, 900 vehicles, and 20 aircraft involved. And this is on a day where more than half the country is under a high temperature warning.
Huge mobilization.
Yeah. The National Authority for Emergency and Civil Protection flagged 7 significant incidents across different districts. Viseu, Coimbra, Villarreal, Garda. Just for those 7, they have nearly 2,500 firefighters, 800 vehicles, and 19 aerial units working. It's a massive coordinated effort.
That's an impressive response. But with so many fires spread out, are there signs that even these resources are stretched or facing unexpected issues? Is there one fire in Portugal causing particular concern? Definitely. The biggest worry right now seems to be in Arganil, in the Coimbra district. That one's been burning since August 13th. They have 919 personnel, almost 300 ground vehicles, and 7 aircraft just on that one fire. And it raises an interesting point, actually. Is it harder in some ways to manage lots of smaller scattered fires like Portugal's 32 compared to one huge blaze? Strategically, it's different.
That's a really good question. Resource allocation must be complex.
For sure. And adding to the pressure, the Portuguese Institute for Sea and Atmosphere put 10 of the 18 districts on orange alert for heat, many bordering Spain, which again shows how linked this all is regionally. Portugal's maintaining a state of alert through August 15th just to help with prevention and firefighting.
The cross-border connection is clear. What about the Balkans? Specifically, North Macedonia and Albania, what's their situation telling us about the wider regional impact?
Well, North Macedonia has lost something like 50,000 hectares of forest just this summer. Albania has seen another 49,000 hectares go up in smoke. That's according to their own authorities.
Huge numbers. Immense environmental damage.
Absolutely. And ecological impacts that don't respect borders. Just in the last 24 hours reported, North Macedonia's crisis center declared 18 new fires, with 4 still active. The most dangerous one seems to be in the Jason Hunting Reserve, south of Skopje. That highlights the threat to important natural areas.
And Albania, any better news there? Maybe a sign of hope?
Actually, yes, thankfully. In Albania, things have improved a bit. Temperatures eased off, winds softened, after 3 really intense days of firefighting. Tragically, 2 people died in the central Elbasan County that was the hardest hit area, with damage in 10 localities.
Still loss of life.
Yes, but people have started returning home, roads are reopening. It's a slow step, but it's towards recovery.
Good to hear about some progress, even after such losses. What's the latest from Greece? I understand there was some question about the causes of their big fires.
Yeah, as of August 14th, the situation had improved on Greece's 6 main fire fronts. Those had burned over 10,000 hectares in just 2 days.
10,000 hectares in 2 days. Unbelievable speed.
It is. And what's interesting, or perhaps concerning, is that the fire department is actively looking into whether some of these were started deliberately. Arson.
Really? That adds a whole other dimension.
It does. It brings in the human element alongside all the environmental factors.
So where are things looking better in Greece, and what's the ongoing effort like?
They're seeing definite progress in Zakynthos, that's in the Ionian Sea, and also in Philippiada, up in the northwest. Those areas lost about 1,800 and 1,700 hectares, respectively. In Zakynthos, thankfully, no more active fronts. That's a big win. But they're still monitoring, dealing with hot spots.
They still need vigilance.
Exactly. In Philippiada, there were still scattered hot spots keeping crews busy. Over in Achaia, in the Peloponnese, they've got 11 aircraft working. And on Chios, in the Aegean, the fire's moving into tricky, hard-to-reach areas, so they have planes and helicopters supporting there, too. It's just a constant multi-front battle.
Okay, and one last check, France. Are they seeing the same kind of fire crisis, or is the heat wave hitting them differently?
As of the 14th, about 3/4 of France was on alert because of the heat wave, which had already been going for a week in some places. They were expecting slightly lower temps temporarily, but then another peak was forecast for the weekend. So it just shows that continuous pressure across the continent and how tough it is for authorities to predict and prepare for the next surge of extreme weather.
So when you step back and look at all this, what does it all mean for us?
Well, connecting the dots, it just really hammers home how tightly linked these extreme temperatures and the massive fires across Europe are. We've seen how deeply they're affecting everyday life, the environment, and frankly, the ability of emergency services to even cope.
Yeah.
You know, from the tragic deaths in Spain and Turkey to just the sheer scale of land burned across so many countries. Hopefully, this deep dive has given you a clearer picture of what's going on, a shortcut to understanding this critical situation.
It certainly puts the scale into perspective.
And it really raises a fundamental question, doesn't it? We see incredible resilience, a massive response effort. But given that these intense events seem to be recurring, what kind of fundamental changes might be needed in our communities, our infrastructure, maybe even how countries work together in the future? It's definitely something for all of us to think about as we face this, well, this evolving climate reality.
Comment, subscribe, and share. More information at www.commerce.com.